Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They saw me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Doeth. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. This is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." You are personally responsible for correct understanding what it means to be uncompromisingly righteous. Do your own study. However, those with a confidence in the flesh do not do the right things consistently. You may have heard messages over the years from genuinely nice people and never saw them as deceived. No one will be declared righteous, for example, through keeping the law, Romans 3 and verse 20. The Jews were supposed to recognize the flesh is completely corrupt through the law, humble themselves through conviction, get the grace to seek, and get even more grace to repent deeply and obey the truth. Jesus said, "He who seeks finds," Matthew 7 and verse 8. So now with grace and truth, John 1:17, there is no excuse for anyone not doing what is righteous or pleasing to God by the Spirit, if you're born again. Solomon told his son to bind truth and mercy about his neck, Proverbs 3 and verse 3. But those with a confidence in the flesh are unwilling to learn God's ways. Follow Christ's example if you want to be consistently righteous in every situation. If you keep making the wrong choice, is because you did not listen to the Holy Spirit for the sake of your flesh. Jesus taught his disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 13. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come." In the book Sound Doctrine, in section 1, Sound Doctrine, in chapter 3, The Danger of an Improper Diagnosis, on pages 30 and 31, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "The dictionary definition of a lie is anything that is said or done with the motive or purpose of bringing someone to any conclusion other than the naked truth. A lie is not a lot more than simply something erroneous. If the motive is to say things in such a way that it will bring a person to a conclusion other than the bare truth, it is a lie. If Satan can deceive a Christian leader into preaching something that may be true, but it brings everyone to a conclusion that is a lie, where does that leave the average baby Christian? The same minister will deny that they're an instrument Satan is using. This problem is rampant in many churches and ministries. If that leader is considered spiritually mature, he may think the devil can't do that through him. That is pretty naive. No one is exempt. Through using your mind to come to truth, you're living in darkness just like the world. and will believe many lies disguised as truth. The devil gets a foothold through everyone that has a confidence in the flesh. Modern technology may be intimidating, but all those following Christ as a little child start with truth, whether you believe it or not. John 17 and verse 17. The Holy Spirit can prepare you for the unexpected. I was taught that if you want to do something you have never done before, then talk to someone who is doing what you want to do first. Do not talk to someone who is still struggling in that area, has doubts, or is making excuses. Doubts come from using your mind trying to come to the truth. The best person to talk to is someone who can do exactly what you want to do and makes it look easy. Jesus also told the disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 8 to 12. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. His disciples were getting a head start with Jesus' teaching, but after the cross, the work of the Holy Spirit was going to reprove and help everyone, everywhere, get a correct understanding too. When the world see God's people in church resisting conviction, they recognize that same response, being reproved of sin, righteousness, and judgment themselves. The reason we come to church is to expose lies that we need to overcome by faith with the rightly revealed word of truth through conviction. Most know the love of money is the root of all evil, for example. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Paul told Timothy, godliness and contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. Now the disciples had to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Someone wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 33 to 35. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, starting verse 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Verse 35, the king's favor is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. God is transmitting his commands by the Spirit, but nations today have exalted themselves through trade, serving the god of this world. Prosperity and wealth appeals to the lust of the eyes and of the mind and of the flesh. But now democratic nations struggle with corruption through the love of money. Genuine success is knowing God and his provision personally in every area of life. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 13 to 15. This is John 14, starting in verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Those calling on God from a pure heart do not need to understand everything first. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. In the morning, most born-again believers have a quiet time and tell God what they need to maintain their comfortable Christian lives. Time is running out for everyone, everywhere, that is adding the phrase in his name to get the things they want without being consistently and conscientiously righteous under pressure. In all areas, maintain your relationship with him by keeping his commands out of love, as the pressure to compromise increases. Jesus is coming for his bride, who use the pressure to show that they really love him John 14 and verse 21. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 John 3 and verse 7 says, "Boys, lads, let no one deceive and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, living a consistently conscientious life, is righteous, even as he is righteous." Your righteousness as a priest of God comes from doing what Jesus tells you to do every step of the way. You'll not become an able minister of the new covenant trying to keep the written word. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Jesus is the righteous one because he obeyed the truth by the Spirit all the way to the cross. Those with a comfortable version of Christianity do not believe they need a consistently righteous life to be saved. They also believe it is not necessary to hear God in all areas. I recommend you start in your private life and be conscientious about learning from your mistakes in the small things first. There is no shortcut to perfectly obeying the divine will in thought, purpose, or action. Get some spiritual exercise, doing what is right under pressure by hearing and obeying the Spirit now. You will not miss out on running a few errands for God that will keep you out of breath too. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Jesus also brought grace and truth that we could repent deeply and learn from our mistakes. You can do the minimum by confessing your sin and still be a babe in Christ. You have to be righteous under some pressure to keep hearing God. Your faith will be tested and purified until the last day on earth. Being cleansed makes you righteous until you become unrighteous again through sin. James wrote to the Jewish converts in the persecution. In James chapter 1, verses 16, and reading to verse 27. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren," verse 17, "every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Verse 20, "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." Verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23, "For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Verse 24, "For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." Verse 25, "But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Verse 26, "If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Verse 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." The word doer in Strong's is number 4163. Comes from another word meaning a performer, specifically a poet, a doer or a poet. In session 9 of the 2020 SOLM Online Summer Conference, Joseph Edgecott speaking about his attitude to getting through, said this: "But it never entered my mind that I'm not going to obey God because I love him. And if it's possible, I'm going to do anything I possibly can to obey God. But you can only do so much. And I just couldn't do it. So when I still couldn't do it, one of the smarter things I did was that, I shared earlier, I didn't make excuses. I went to the mirror. I started asking God, what's wrong with that guy looking at me in the mirror? And I would get answers. And I could make adjustments, either receive something or repent of something. And things would move along a little further. Then if it gets stuck, I go back to the mirror. I'd get more revelation on what the hindrance was. I'd adjust it and I'd go a little bit further, get stuck and go again. God is providing everything you need for the best spiritual education. But that grace does not last forever just because you're born again. Those that look into the perfect law of liberty get answers and repent and get more grace. Those that have learned obedience in complicated situations like Christ are consistently righteous. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. The converted Jews in humble circumstances living among the heathen outside the walls of Jerusalem were waiting for the religious Jews to repent when they needed to repent themselves. You've been given grace to depart from iniquity wherever he puts you, if you belong to him. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. There is no pure religion anywhere that the devil has not already corrupted. Counterfeit versions of Christianity have been created through the love of money. A real Christian is someone who hears, knows, and follows Christ by the Spirit. John 10 and verse 27. Jesus knows his people and is providing what they need every day for a spiritual inheritance. Be a doer of his word with godly wisdom, and you'll appear to others like an amazing performer or poet to the carnally minded. Hypocrites will not understand how you are so happy and at peace all the time in complicated situations. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 14 to 16. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Discern your situation spiritually, or you'll become bitter and deceive yourself and others with just natural discernment. Paul told the Corinthians to check and see if they are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. You cannot live by faith quoting a few verses when you're in trouble. Faith only works properly through a love relationship with God. You can only speak the truth in an area or be used by God to help someone if your righteousness exceeds theirs. Matthew 5 and verse 20. John continued in 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sins not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knows him. In the book Sound Doctrine, section 1, on Sound Doctrine in chapter 3, The Danger of an Improper Diagnosis, on page 30, Joseph Edgecott writes, it's kind of like the story about the man who pulled up to a stop sign. Instead of stopping, he just slowed down and went on around the corner. A policeman pulled him over and said, "You ran the stop sign." The man replied, "I slowed down. There wasn't anyone coming." The policeman said, "The sign says to stop, not slow down." The man answered, "Slow down or stop, what's the difference?" The policeman pulled out his billy stick and started hitting the man on the head. "Now, do you want me to slow down or stop?" There's a lot of difference between slow down and stop, and it's the same with true and truth. Stop sinning and do not make any excuses. Neglect a great salvation. You'll never find the reasons why you keep sinning. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Jesus was given the authority to forgive sins in all those seeking true repentance before the cross. Matthew 9 and verse 6. The apostles preached the forgiveness of sins in his name. Acts 5 and verse 31. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you keep confessing the same sins over and over again, you're like Thomas, and you don't know the way. John 14, verses 5 and 6. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm reading verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Lives not changing in any church are evidence of spiritual corruption somewhere. Many prefer ways that seem right for the sake of their flesh. They don't want to strive to enter the rest and grow up spiritually. Luke 13 and verse 24. If you do not believe conviction is a blessing, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. Revelation 3 and verse 17. Conviction is an invitation through repentance to grow a little in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus as the Son and get to know the Father too. God wants everyone to abide in Christ. You will not grow up with just more knowledge of the Scriptures. John 5 and verse 39. James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 4. This is James chapter 4. I'm reading verse 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James was writing to the converted Jews that had lost a comfortable religious life by giving the good confession in Jerusalem. You can repent and move from the flesh to the spirit by humbling yourself, but through pride, move back into the flesh again. You need to get in Christ and make no excuses for coming out. To come out of Christ in any situation, you have to commit spiritual adultery first and go back to your old ways. You will get a grieving of the Spirit to warn you in complicated situations, and your heart will be troubled through a lack of God's eternal peace. Consulting your mind puts enmity between you and God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action, because his ways are higher than yours. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. James also wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 3. This is James chapter 4, and read verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." In the persecution, the converted Jews were getting clear answers from God. However, when they saw the heathen living comfortably without asking God, they became double-minded. This affected their clear communication with God. You can give away a spiritual inheritance just because you want what others have now. Hebrews 12 and verse 16. Thinking about your own needs is dangerous. This is what everyone in this world does, and it's not a fruit of trusting God with all your heart. Matthew 6 and verse 25. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 to verse 9. I'm reading James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings." Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. There's an easy way and a hard way of doing everything. The carnal cry out to God when it's too late and their lives already in a mess. Conviction is your opportunity to repent and save yourself through deep repentance. God uses a fiery situation to produce patience and contentment quickly if someone's still sowing to the flesh. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. You have a heavenly Father who knows what you really need to finish your race and get a spiritual inheritance. If you feel conviction, you have not lost your salvation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:12-14. This is 1 Corinthians 10. I'm starting in verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Thinking you've arrived at some high spiritual level, that you no longer need to study the word of truth, in your own personal relationship with God will lead to a fall. Doubts about conviction and correction come from thinking. Talk to Jesus, not to someone with doubts. If you want to be an overcomer, you will fall from grace by not asking enough questions. You can make a way where there seems no way. And this can be at the very end of a trial for those who want to be consistent doers of the word. The pressure coming from complicated situations will expose any idols, a shallow foundation, or errors needed for repentance over a period of time. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 John 3:6 says, no one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually commits, practices sin. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, recognized, perceived, or understood him, or has any had an experience and acquaintance with him. Those with a confidence in the flesh believe a lie that they can easily study with their minds and get answers. Such a confidence is rarely removed in those that have been to Bible college using man's methods of learning. Practical opportunities without conviction and correction add to a confidence in the flesh. Diffuse the pressure that you need to grow spiritually, that God creates, and you remain ignorant of God's ways the rest of your life. Those that lack the fear of God and treat the Bible like any other book have no knowledge or wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. Paul wrote in Romans 14:17-18. This is Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. For more information on how the peace of God works in us and how he can bring scripture back to your mind so you can serve God acceptably, please read the book, The Three Infallible Witnesses, 2023 edition by Joseph Hedgecock. at salvation, if you are born again, you should have received the kingdom of God. Luke 17:20-21. You cannot follow Christ or serve God acceptably without these essentials. Number one, righteousness. Pursue and seek it so that your communication with God never stops working at any time. And attempted to hear another voice aimed at pleasing your flesh instead. 1 Timothy 6:11. Number two, the peace of God that passes all understanding is necessary for life on the narrow way. As the pressure increases, gradually follow the peace. 2 Timothy 2:22. As the devil has many counterfeits, so you become spiritually blinded by earthly gain or a comfortable religious lifestyle. Number three, joy that comes from obeying him is something you need so that whenever you experience conviction, you do not get overcome with condemnation. You may experience godly sorrow at any point, but remember, all of heaven takes joy in just one sinner who repents deeply. Luke 15:10. His joy about your life that you feel through the gift of eternal life will give you the strength you need to follow Christ and obey. Nehemiah 8:10. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I experienced righteousness, peace, and joy, but I did not make him Lord. If you have tried to make Jesus the functional Lord of your life, you cannot do that by just saying a prayer. I humbled myself, but then I had to strive to stay humble and enter the rest. Hebrews 4:9-10. A lot of things had to pass away in me before I could live a consistently conscientious life. I had to accept specific commands from God and make no excuses under pressure. I had to stop judging, for example. Matthew 7:1-2. I had to find the narrow way and stay on it for everything to pass away through repentance from dead works. In the Living Bible, 1 John 3:6-7 says, so if we stay close to him, obedient to him, we won't be sinning either. But as for those who keep on sinning, they should realize this. They sin because they have never really known him or become his. Oh, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. If you are constantly doing what is good, it is because you are good even as he is. If you ever got in the flesh, repent and get back in the Spirit first. Then keep asking God more questions in the Spirit as to why you listen to the flesh, and you'll get to the root issue eventually. The root of all unbelief is a lie that you believe to be the truth for the sake of your flesh. John told new converts in Ephesus two things. Number one, if you have a close, obedient, love relationship with God, it's not easy to sin, as everyone has to get in the flesh first. They have to resist the Holy Spirit and turn their back on Christ. Those who live in the flesh do not know God personally because the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. Number two, it's easy to live consistently righteous under pressure if you're operating like Christ, trusting God with all your heart, not lean to your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6. I was in and out of the presence of God when I was born again. It was only when I woke up to righteousness, 1 Corinthians 15:34, and the fact that it was my sin separating me from his presence, feeling his love and producing condemnation. I was feeling like a failure, but I understood that there is nothing that repentance cannot fix. God chastens those he loves, Revelation 3:19. Chastening and conviction is the greatest assurance that you're going to make heaven and that you still belong to Christ. Hebrews 12:8. Do not resist chastening and correction, as God has high standards, or you may be left behind and disappearing. 1 Corinthians 11:32. We read in John 17:1, and I'm reading to verse 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. In these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Jesus never felt short of God's glory by submitting himself through hearing and obeying God's instructions precisely that he received by faith through the Holy Spirit. John 5:30. Jesus finished the work God gave him to do on the earth before the cross. Young converts today running after the wrong things need to invest in God's plan before time runs out. Jesus was given the power over all flesh and authority to give the gift of eternal life to as many as the Father sent him. Jesus trained the disciples the Father picked that had left everything to follow him. The disciples recognized the words of Jesus came from the Father because he always had the right answers for every situation. The disciples saw how Jesus was one with God, John 10:30, calm and cool under pressure, and functioned easily in the wilderness by listening to God. The disciples endured the teaching they received, but were told that they had a gift to know God for themselves in the same way Jesus did by the Spirit. Here are two important points. Number one, you cannot get to know Jesus by just encountering the power of God, but you need the fellowship of his sufferings too. Philippians 3:10. Paul already knew Jesus by passing through many trials or difficulties on the narrow way. You can know him with the gift of eternal life, but in the process, he also gets to know you in terms of how much pressure you can handle as well without sinning. Number two, no one can get to know the Father with sin in their life as he is holy. Jesus is your advocate. If you're already on the narrow way, making no excuses and studying the word of truth, when convicted, use a notebook to record the progress you make getting to the root issues. If Jesus is your advocate, he will speak to your Father and mention those things he knows about you personally, overcoming sin and temptation. He who honors the Son honors the Father, John 5:23. Your life does not bring honor to Jesus or the Father if you're always getting in the flesh when things do not go your way like a spoiled child. You are given your own connection to God, so you can ask God any question on any subject, so don't be lazy. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Set or fix your affections on things that Christ did that pleased God by faith under pressure, that qualified him to sit next to the Father, Colossians 3:1-2. Do not get distracted, as you will sin. Jesus told us all to look up in these last days, Luke 21:28. Sin came into the world through Eve, looking at what was possible through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you make the decisions through man's wisdom, the internet, fear, lust of the eyes, or anything for the sake of your flesh, you will lose your soul. Make sure you surrender everything and anything to Christ and let Him make all the right decisions as the CEO of your life by trusting God with all your heart. Paul was speaking in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. This is Acts chapter 17, I'm reading verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He has raised Him from the dead. Jesus, the firstborn of many sons, Hebrews 2 and verse 10. He's an example of someone who never sinned by trusting God with all his heart. The resurrection of Christ by the Father is proof that Jesus did everything right by faith, under pressure, in his humanity, with the right motive and attitude. Through our baptism into Christ, we can also experience God's resurrection power again and again. The devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness to use his divine power to make bread, but he relied on the word, Matthew 4, 3 and 4, which is the circumcision of Christ, Colossians 2 and verse 11. Since the religious Jews rejected the conviction of killing their own Messiah through the Spirit, the Father has many adopted children called of God to do the will of God. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, starting in verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As the pressure increases gradually, take up your cross daily. Jesus, our big brother, overcame the cross and made a show of the devil and all the fallen angels openly with godly wisdom. Colossians 2 and verse 15. Jesus got his spiritual education in Nazareth, not in a big city like Jerusalem, with the religious leaders. My name, Keith, means strong one. Growing in godly wisdom, Jesus became strong in spirit. You'll become weak and prone to more temptation if you keep using your natural mind and natural wisdom to make decisions. You'll get stronger by asking God the small things, not just the big things. In the Message Bible, 1 John 3 and verse 7 says, so, my dear children, don't let anyone divert you from the truth. It's the person who acts right who is right, just as we see it lived out in our righteous Messiah. Change your attitude to doing what is right. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Look at righteousness like an academic career. There's always higher qualifications with tougher assignments. You will need to obey and not think about your own needs to get all the godly wisdom you need to pass significant stages in your spiritual education. Compare yourself with Christ if you think the pressure is too much. There is no more grace to keep sinning. Righteousness is something you have to do consistently in complicated situations. So you need to be determined to hear, trust, and obey, as no situation is the same. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7, I'm reading to verse 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God hears our prayers, but only those who are righteous hear the right voice and answers they need in complicated situations. Let him prepare you for the right answers, and be a prompt doer of the works of your Father, and his name will be hallowed in your life. Jesus believed the Father would take care of his personal needs. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is here on earth now by the Spirit if you believe. Jesus taught in Matthew 7 and verse 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you do not learn how to do the will of the Father consistently while you're still alive, you'll be left behind at his appearing. The Greek word that is used for doeth appears 576 times in the New Testament, but only appears 43 times translated as doeth in the King James Version of the Bible. The word doeth was translated here and appears over 14 times in Jesus' teaching in the King James. Jesus is being emphatic. Rarely do you find anyone today that believes it's even possible to do his perfect will. The church, with a one-way phone system, uses praise and worship to send a message to God each week that he is Lord, but cannot provide any instructions on how to hear, trust, and obey the Spirit in their personal lives. Some churches use more elaborate ways of starting a meeting with a countdown, flashing lights, sound, music, and smoke rising, so that the inside of a modern church looks more like Mount Sinai rather than Mount Zion, with a host of angels singing, Hebrews 12:17-22. James wrote this in James chapter 2, verses 18-20. This is James chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? God's kingdom will be run by the meek, trusting God with all their heart for 1,000 years, not by the educated. Matthew 5 and verse 5. Have you been through a process where you've had to do things his way rather than your own, to the point that you became meek? If not, why not? The fallen angels fear the kingdom of God coming. Everyone's response should be better or very similar. If you really believe with all your heart that Jesus is Lord now by the Spirit, you'll be working out your salvation in fear and trembling. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9-12. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God has the ability through the Holy Spirit to communicate with about 9 billion people on the face of the earth all at the same time. You may not hear that right voice, but if you can hear the devil, then there's a problem. God is not the problem. If you can also hear other voices, if you have not already become like a little child, then you are ashamed of his teaching. Becoming like a little child in terms of obeying the truth is absolutely necessary to enter and live in the kingdom of heaven now. Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. Paul continued in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jesus is the final authority, but will not tell you to do anything contrary to the written word. Even if you forget a scripture, he can still bring back Bible verses to your mind. So stay humble and keep listening. Study what brings the most conviction. When God speaks, it's not just a suggestion. God also does the work in you by his Spirit, bringing the right thoughts to your mind and leading you by his Spirit to the truth. Your part is to repent deeply based on what he shows you. When you are convicted, he will also give you many other verses to study before you get to the root issue of why you believe lies. Those with a one-way phone system refer to the Bible as a manual, but have no ability to hear God instantly or hear his voice clearly themselves. Those with a mature faith have learned through deep repentance to obey the Holy Spirit perfectly, under pressure, with the peace of God and the witness of the Spirit. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, what knowledge of the Son of God did you get by being baptized into Christ? Give three recent examples. Number two, has your definition of righteousness changed through this message? Number three, give an example of studying the Word of Truth and how it changed your life. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Gilded Prism, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. The kingdom of God is here now for you. Those living in the kingdom of God, following Jesus with the right priorities, get all the help they need to do everything in conformity to his will in thought, purpose, and action. You need righteousness, peace, and joy to hear God clearly and make decisions without ever consulting your own mind. Let God provide his answers for your calling and purpose on this earth, and be prepared to suffer. Jesus also knows that what you are going through now, to maintain an amazing relationship with the living God, you have to fight and not think about your own needs. Matthew 6 and verse 25. And use the gift of eternal life instead. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. I pray that this message has touched your life. I've been speaking to you about doing. And before you can do, you need to hear. And that all comes through that personal relationship that you can have with him. And I pray that you will work on that relationship now through the scriptures I've mentioned. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for everyone who's been listening. Your Spirit has been speaking to them. And I pray that you give them grace, not only to hear what I've said, but also be doers of the word, that they will be faithful to the very end and that they will accept the truth that they need to finish their race in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.